When I look back at what I thought was living, I'm amazed at the price I chose to pay. And to think I ignored what really mattered, 'cause I thought the sacrifice would be too great. When I finally reached the point of giving up, I found the cross was calling even then. And even though it took dying to survive, I've never felt so much alive. There's no greater sacrifice, for I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. As I hear the Savior call for daily dying, I will bow beneath the weight of Calvary. Let my hands surrender to His piercing purpose that holds me to the cross, yet sets me free. And I will glory in the power of the cross. The things I thought were gain, I count as loss. And with Your suffering, and by His resurrection power, I am alive. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. Not I, but Christ lives within me. His cross will never ask for more than I.
Guys, two of those young men are Dan's brothers. which is pretty awesome. The first ordination in the Bible, in the Old Testament, was really the first installation of the first priesthood, included with anointing with oil. Aaron and his sons were anointed and ordained into the ministry as priests. The anointing was believed to effect a transference of the holiness and virtue, or the power of God, and a special infilling of His Holy Spirit. Old Testament, the Spirit came and left. New Testament, the Spirit dwells and abides. We're in an advantage. It was done first in Exodus as a setting apart or sanctifying of the tabernacle in the wilderness, its furniture, and its priests. They anointed them. They ordained them. Leviticus 8, it says, "And call the entire community of Israel together at the entrance of the tabernacle. Then he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head, anointing him and making him holy for God's work." That's why we're going to anoint him with oil this morning. The first ordination of a subsequent leadership was in Numbers 27 when Moses transferred the mantle from him to Joshua and ordained him to lead the people, found in Numbers 27, verse 18. The Lord replied, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, who has the Spirit in him." Say it with me. "He has the Spirit in him. And lay your hands on him." That's why we're going to lay hands on Dan. "Present him to Eleazar the priest before the whole community and publicly commission or ordain him to lead the people." That's why we're doing it in front of the whole church. So we know, and we can be a part of it. "Transfer some of your authority to him so the whole community of Israel will obey him." The purpose of ordained ministers in the New Testament. We turn to Ephesians. Excuse me. Ephesians 4, starting at verse 11. Why do we have these ordained ministers? "And he himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Why did he give them? "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, that you know what you believe and you know why you believe it, and you can communicate it to somebody else. By the trickery of man and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ." Ministers help us grow. Ministers help us grow up and not stay children tossed to and fro because we just don't know. We just don't understand. Our job is to educate you in the Scriptures, that you might know this God in whom you believe and what He means to you and what the cross means and how and what all this works together. Our job is to communicate that to you in a way that will transform your life. Will the candidate for ordination and his wife please come forward and be seated over here? And will the ordaining presbyters please come forward and be seated over here, please? What a good-looking couple. What good-looking presbyters. What a latecomer. As Moses presented Aaron and his sons and Joshua to the people of God, I present to you Daniel Stephen Fitzgerald as meeting all the scriptural qualifications according to 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, for the ordination to the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a most prestigious, yet a very humble calling. He's been examined by this scripture here in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. Please let me read it to you as every minister is examined by this. This is a fearful saying. If a man desires a position of a bishop, which you do, a spiritual overseer, a minister, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, above reproach. He must be honest and not a cheater. The husband must have one wife, and you're blessed with a great one. And you only get one, and that's what she says. One and done. There it is right there, the greatest one and done. But it means that you're not immoral or fleshly, is what it's trying to say. Temperate. One who shows moderation and self-restraint. Sober-minded. Rational. Sensible. Of good behavior. Respectable and exemplary in conduct. Hospitable. Unselfish. And willing to serve. And willing to share with others. Able to teach. A desire to communicate the truth of God from the Scriptures so He can help people. Not given to wine. Not under the bondage of or addiction to anything. Not violent. People aren't afraid of you. Not greedy for money. Money doesn't cloud your thinking. You can't be bought. But gentle. You are an example to others. Not quarrelsome. Not always having to win an argument. Not covetous. You give your tithes and offerings generously. One who rules his own house well, having his children in all submission with all reverence. Your kids, they love you. They love you. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice. This isn't new for you. This isn't your first rodeo. Lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside. You see, the people out there will look back in and go, there is a good man. And they do. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in the ministry, you're judged at a higher qualifications than everybody else. When you stand before the Lord, you will answer for yourself. If you're married, you're going to answer for how you helped your wife. How you helped her grow if you're a man. If you're a minister, you're going to be held accountable for yourself, for your wife, for your family, and for the flock of God. He's going to ask you, why did you not say that? Why did you chicken out? Why did you not stand with integrity? Why did you allow yourself those liberties when I asked you not? You see, we get judged at a higher standard. Because we've taken on the ministry. So we're judged higher. I love Dan's life verse because it also attests to his heart of service for the Lord. Our transition song in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. There he is again, in me, this in me, this enveloped. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is his heart, his passion for the Lord. Dan's giftings, ministry, his experience, his love of people, his passion for the Lord, and his call of God have been observed by all of us here at Living Faith Fellowship and examined by the board of directors, ministers, the council of elders, and has been found to be both readily visible and biblically proper. Today we officially authenticate that which has already been recognized. We're not just throwing him into this. He's already been walking in it. And now we're just recognizing the call you've already been in. I'm going to give you a scriptural charge. By the authority of the Word of God and the authoritative witness of the Holy Spirit, we give you this scriptural charge as Paul and Peter did to Timothy and Titus and to others as they stepped into the ministry. We give you the same biblical charge. I'm going to read seven scriptures. Please allow me to read these because this is his job description. 2 Timothy 2. O Timothy, my son, be strong with the strength Christ Jesus gives you, for you must teach others these things. You and many others have heard me speak about. Teach these great truths to trustworthy men who will in turn pass them on to others. Take your share of suffering. Take your share of suffering as a good soldier, because you will, of Jesus Christ, just as I do. And as Christ's soldier, do not let yourself become tied up in worldly affairs, for then you cannot satisfy the one who has enlisted you in his army. Follow the Lord's rules for doing his work, just as an athlete either follows the rules or is disqualified and wins no prize. 2 Timothy 2:15. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. That's the only approval you need to have. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. 2 Timothy 2:22. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. You have a higher call. Instead, pursue righteousness, righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Be able to teach and be patient with difficult people, because you will face difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Win them over by your love and by your demeanor. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts, and they will learn the truth. 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, Dan. Be ready in season and out. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Titus 2. As for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely. And you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. Teach by example. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized. Then those who oppose you will be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us. Titus 2, verse 12. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to the wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin. And you get to communicate that to people. To cleanse us, to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good works. You must teach these things and encourage the believers to do them. You have the authority to correct them when necessary. So don't let anyone disregard what you say. And finally, 1 Peter 5, verse 2. Dan, care for the flock. Care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. Not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. By this ordination, if you, Daniel Stephen Fitzgerald, do willingly consent to submit yourself to these biblical instructions and charges, and to the spiritual authority of Living Faith Fellowship in matters of personal conduct, doctrine, and discipline, and if you shall maintain spiritual harmony with this local church fellowship as we together serve the Lord Jesus Christ and His people, please answer by saying, I will. We're going to lay hands on him, anoint him with oil. We're going to pray over him, and then there'll probably be a few prophetic words. Presbyter is this way. We love you guys. In the Old Testament, they poured the whole vial on his head. I thought about doing that, but it's a brand new suit. So. But I got a lot on my hand here. Father, give me another one. Father, we lay our hands upon this servant today. And his helpmeet. We ordain him into the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ and set him as a pastor in this congregation with all the privileges and responsibilities thereof, even as down through the generations hands have been laid on and impartation done one to another, to another, to another. As we gather here today, we impart even more of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God who is in you. A burden for the lost, dependence upon Jesus Christ to fulfill the calling to which you have been called. We are confident in Jesus Christ that the necessary enabling to meet that calling is indeed now your portion. You, my son, are ordained for greatness. Follow his call. And Lord, as a congregation, we dedicate ourselves to receive Dan as a pastor. If you will receive Dan as a pastor, will you just raise your hand? Raise your hand. Stretch it out toward Dan. As a congregation, we dedicate ourselves to receive Dan as a pastor, leader, and shepherd in this house. And we pray all of this to be done in the name of our wonderful, powerful, and awesome Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. If anybody has a word, take it a mic. If anybody has a word, can we have our house prophets come forward as well, or two house prophets, if you wouldn't mind coming? Those that would have a word for this couple, we want to give it to them at this time. Mike?
As I was praying for you, I simply asked the Lord, what do you have for Dan? And he said, Isaiah 61. So I went to it, and this is what he says. And as Jesus himself proclaimed this about himself in Luke 4, as a co-heir of Christ, he wants you to proclaim this scripture about yourself. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. As I continued to pray for you and contemplate this scripture, he said, Dan, you have already been functioning and will be functioning in a greater measure in each of these ways, in the spirit of evangelism, as one that is bringing good news to the poor, and also in the spirit of a shepherd and as a pastor, as one who is binding up the brokenhearted, and also in the spirit of counsel and a counselor, as one who is proclaiming liberty to captives, and also as one functioning in the spirit of power, as you are opening the prison to those who are bound. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you for these things. He's also not going to just enable you to open the prison to those who are bound, but he's going to give you strategies for opening the doors of the church to those same people, to the poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, and the bound. He's going to give you ideas, strategies, in order to more effectively help draw them into his house where they can receive truth and be healed. And I want to bring highlight to this scripture. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And the word bind up means to wrap. And the brokenhearted really is just people whose lives are broken. They've been burst apart by the different difficulties that they face in life. But he's showed me a picture of you taking wraps, and these wraps are wraps of truth, where they don't understand the way, they don't know where to go, but you're taking the truth of the gospel and the truth from God's heart, and you're ministering that to them, and you're binding up these broken pieces and making them whole again as God's hands extended.
I thought I'd let somebody else go, but I'd be a wreck in 10 minutes. Two. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Matthew 20:28, Jesus tells us that he himself didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. And nothing has been too small for you. And that speaks to the integrity of your heart. And your response to the call of God. You've been willing to watch it paint dry. And embrace the character shaping and the humility that that and so much more bring. Well done. We're 10 years apart in age, and so I didn't see a lot of you from when you were about 7 to 17. I kind of missed some growing up. But I've been privileged to see your spiritual growing up as you've embraced maturing. And those things that will be an eternal crown of glory. It's been my honor to serve Jesus with you. My honor to continue to serve him with you. Well done, brother.
paint some, and so literally he does watch paint dry at times. So.
For God has anointed you where he has called you. And he has given you broad spiritual shoulders to carry a load that might crush other people, but you just barely feel it because he's given you that strength. He's given you those shoulders. Don't compare yourself to others. Do what he's called you to do, because in that is the true servanthood of Christ, just following him as he's called each one of us. And he is going to give you the strength that you need. And he has put by your side a woman with spiritual wisdom beyond her spiritual years. Amen. Listen to her. She's going to help you. She's going to steer you. Sometimes when you start going a little crazy, she's going to steer you back in the right direction. So listen to her. She's put you here for a purpose, that the two of you can pull a wonderful load for the kingdom of God. He wants people to serve him, and you have answered that call. And he has anointed you.
As God told Joshua, be strong and courageous, I tell you, be strong and courageous. But I'm not telling you to take a bodybuilding class. No, because we all are weak. We all lack courage at certain times in our lives. But I'm telling you that my strength is found in weakness. So be strong in me. I am encouraging you to be strong and courageous as an encouragement, because as you depend on me, as you are weak, I am strong. As you are weak in the things that you do, I am strong, and I will give the strength and the courage that you need. And that's being strong and being courageous will allow you to take victory over the enemy and to be the minister that he wants you to be.
Two words have marked your ministry. Two words will increasingly mark your ministry. Softness and firmness. Softness of heart, softness of spirit. Sensitivity to others, to your wife, to your kids, to those you minister to. Yieldedness to the Spirit. A softness before the Lord. A humility that's precious in the sight of the Lord, but a firmness that comes from the authority of the Spirit in you and upon you, a firmness in speaking the truth in love, a firmness in standing for what is right, in leading others in that direction. Softness and firmness, the marks of this ministry and this man of God.
You were born for such a time as this. You came from a family for such a time as this, with roots that go deep for such a time as this. I will send you to people who cannot unravel themselves, who appear put together but are hardly holding themselves together. And you will relax them and give them a gentle ear. Those who won't come up and introduce themselves to you will come up and introduce themselves to you. Because you're just that sort of a man. And I will use everything that you've gained, everything that's been born into you, and all the hands, and then we'll go the extra mile. Because there are folks that oppose themselves, that you're going to have to talk off the ledge. Some of them have been through the shredder of life. Some were pushed, some tripped. Some chose it as the only alternative to standing in a burning building. And you're going to give them a way out and walk them out of there. And they're going to trust you in ways that they are unable to trust anyone else. That is a mighty mantle. That is a very broad shoulders. But these are not weak shoulders. And I've given you a helpmeet, unusual, seemingly pretty and fragile and stronger than the strongest steel. And she will indeed tell you when you're going crazy, and she's going to poke you when you're not going crazy enough. So you won't be stayed, but you'll be empowered and invigorated. I'm so privileged to call you my friend. I was only just reminded that your name, your middle name is Stephen. I didn't even know that. That means crowned one. And this is not robbery. This was placed upon your head. And you were born for such a time as this, for the times are perilous.
You know, we realize that this isn't just a just for Dan, his wife, but his whole family are involved in this ministry. It seems like when you're a pastor's kid, you live in a fishbowl. And we want to pray for the family that they'll have an anointing to enjoy all that God has in store for them. So if Addison and Bethany and Hudson and Naomi could come up here, we want to pray for you as well. Bethany, raise your hand, Bethany. Bethany there, when they were gathering together as a family, I encouraged them to talk to your family and make sure that you're all on board with this when we talk about ordaining. And they said, talked to them about about ordination, and they said, do you know what it means to be a pastor? And Bethany says, you give out suckers? So Dan, you'll be at the back there with me giving out suckers to the kids. We want to pray for you. Oil. We're going to pray, and God's going to do good things in your guys' life, because this is a family together. All right? So you, Addison, Bethany, you like this, right? I'll give you a sucker. I'm going to give you a sucker afterwards.
There you go, Hudson. You got it.
Boom, boom. And Naomi, we pray for you guys. We pray your blessing of the Lord to be upon you. We know you're going to live in a fishbowl, but it's a great place to be. Because in that bowl, God feeds you really, really well. And His hand of power and promise and blessing will be upon you. When you don't understand, trust and realize that God has His hand upon you, that He will bless you, keep you, and grow you as a family. Above everything else, a man of God, a family man, amen, and then a minister. Amen. God bless you, and let this family grow. Yep. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we got a go ahead and give him a hand. We have a certificate of ordination, and it says this: we, the undersigned, hereby certify that upon the recommendation and request of the Board of Elders of Living Faith Fellowship, which had full and sufficient opportunity for judging his giftings and examining his Christian experience, his call to the ministry, and his views of biblical doctrine, Daniel Stephen Fitzgerald was solemnly and publicly set apart and ordained to the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ on the 23rd day of April 2017 by the authority and order of Living Faith Fellowship, Pullman, Washington, and signed by the ordaining presbyters that are here. Come here, you. Stand up. God bless you. I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of you. There you go. Come here, you. All right, come on up. Come on up to the front here. Okay. Oh, this is my girl. Yeah, yeah. Daniel, why don't you come on up right here, would you, with the family here? Just come on up right here. You can go ahead and stay standing if you wouldn't mind. I now present to you Pastor Daniel Stephen Fitzgerald! Hallelujah! And let me give you, yeah, yay. Say, go, Dad. All right. Are you waiting for the sucker afterwards? Yeah, yeah, you're ready. Okay, she's good. Let me give a benediction. It's found in number 6 with some Strong's definitions added. The Lord abundantly bless you and protect you. The Lord set you on fire with His radiance and grant favor to you. The Lord regard you with a warm smile and heap upon you prosperity, contentment, and friendliness. God bless you. There's going to be a cake reception in the lobby so we can congratulate and honor Pastor Dan. Somebody said his name's going to be Dan, Pastor Dan, for a long time. Because he's going to be, hey, Dan, Pastor Dan. I mean, next Sunday is going to be Celebration Sunday. We're going to celebrate the testimonies of numerous people who have grown in the Lord this year. So we will see you all next Sunday. God bless you. Let's celebrate in the back. Please get some cake. You are dismissed.